As Pastor Don was saying, I'm not a doctor, but in a way I am. My specialty is spiritual cardiology. And I've been sent here this morning by the CDC, the Center for Christian Disease Control, to warn you about a disease, a malady, that is really becoming an epidemic in the Christian community. And of course, all diseases have to have a name. And the name of this disease is, of course, Latin, like all diseases. I don't know why they have to be in Latin, but... And it's called Durum Aspor. Anyone here speak Latin? Well, what that means in good old American English is a hardening of the heart. A hardening of the heart. It's something that is really becoming, like I said, epidemic proportions in the Christian community. And if we think, when we talk about a hardening of the heart, I looked up the words hardening. I brought an example with me, too. Don't worry. Don't worry. The doctor's in control. This is an example of a hard heart. Sinking heart. Yes. It'll bottom out. Don't worry. Just like anything else, the heart is getting harder by the minute and falling further. Am I correct? How would you like to have this inside your chest? The dictionary describes anything that's hardening or hard as cold, insensitive, unfeeling, unyielding. Are these words the type of words that we should be using to describe a Christian's heart? No. No. This is hard. This is cold. This is unfeeling. That is not what we want in our chest. And we weren't born with a heart like that. Everyone sitting here has been saved. Your heart has been softened. You had a hard heart when you come to God. Right? How many people here come to God because things were going too good? No hands? Good. But we have to remember that over time, things happen. But I would like to say that when we're talking about the heart, that's an organ that's in the body that just pumps, right? It's a metaphor for really up here, your thoughts. That's the devil's playground. Just as Alex has said this morning, it's that little bee that gets in, that little bit of sin that gets in. Where does it get in? Starts right here, doesn't it? So I thought this morning we would take a look at four different things. First, what does the Word say about a hard heart? Most important, we want to know what God says about it, right? Second thing, what causes a hard heart? If your heart is like that, something happened somewhere, right? Something caused this. The third thing is, what are the symptoms? How do I know if I have a hard heart? Not a hard head, Sarge. Hard heart. And the fourth, and probably the most important, what's the cure for it? Is there a cure? Amen. We hope there's a cure, right? But we'll find out. First thing we want to take a look at what the Word says about a hard heart. Turn with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:17. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. The outward appearance is what people look at. But the Lord looks at the heart. There's been plenty of times in the Christian community where we have seen, say, a pastor on TV. It seems to just be doing the greatest works, the greatest things, even in the communities. But then all of a sudden, we get news. Pastor's fallen into a sin. And we're just dumbfounded. Well, where did this come from? How could this have happened? All we're seeing is the surface. We don't see that man's heart. God does. The lust that was in there. The judgment of not himself, but other people. Even the elect can be fooled if we let that little bee in, like Alex said this morning. And where does that bee come in? Right here. You're not going to do anything if you don't think about it first. You know that. I always love the analogy about falling into sin. Well, forgive me, Bob. I went out to the bar. I fell in sin. Did you fall out of an airplane through the roof onto that bar stool? No. You made dozens of decisions to go to that bar, to order that drink, to start your car, didn't you? It all starts right here on the decisions we make. Mark 7, verses 21 and 22. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, remember a metaphor again for the mind, that evil thoughts come. Where do the evil thoughts come from? Right here. The devil's playground. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit. On and on and on. It starts right here. In the mind. In the heart. Proverbs 4:23, I think, sums it up perfectly. What the word has to say about your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. If you've got a heart like this, you think goodness is going to come out of it? Charity, joy, peace? No. We have to remember that the word says the most important thing is to guard your heart. That's where everything starts. Everything flows from that. You're not going to do something unless you have thought about it and worked it out. Very few things we do are spontaneous, believe it or not. And if it is, it's still coming out of where your heart, where your thought, where your mind is, right? If your mind's in the gutter, what do you think's going to come out of it? Gutter talk, thank you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. That's one thing that comes from a hard heart, rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart like that one that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. I think Pastor John spoke about that last week or not too long ago about perseverance. What good is it if you don't go to the end? I'm a boxing enthusiast. I love to watch boxing. I have seen many fights where one guy just dominated for 9 rounds. 10th round, the other guy gets in a lunky punch, wins. So who won the fight? The one that did the best for 9 rounds, the one that persevered in the end. You don't go all the way at the end. How do you run a marathon? Well, gosh, first 25 miles, I was in head, but I fell out somewhere. You don't finish the race. Somebody asked, what was your time in the race? Well, I didn't have one. You don't finish. We need to always make sure that we're on a path to go to the end. And you can't do it with something like this in your chest. Take a look at what causes a hard heart. First, there is such a thing. Jennifer? There is a physical hardness of the heart, isn't it? It's a malady that Jennifer back there has come up for prayer several times and shared the miracles that God has done in her life, besides the one she's sitting next to. That her heart, the outside surface of her heart, was getting hard and leathery. And if you know Jenny, I mean, she's a ball of fire, usually running like a chipmunk on speed. But you could tell something was wrong. She just wasn't herself. She was slow. She had tired time breathing. You could almost see the life being choked out of her, like somebody had their hands around her throat. That's what happens in the physical when your heart starts to harden. Praise God, he touched her. The operations were good. She's feeling great, looking good, right? But that's what a hard heart can do in the physical. It'll do worse in the spiritual. Because her physical being is going to end eventually. The spiritual part is not. Heart like this, think it's going to heaven or hell. Thank you. You're on fire today too, Alex. So what causes a hard heart? Before I want to get into that part, I want to thank Joe because he gave my message today about how we get a hard heart. All the things we have to trek through, the mud, the dirt, the filth, it builds up on your shoes. Anybody ever had on boots like walking through mud or something? Out in the country, you do that. I mean, your feet like weigh 100 pounds. You just can't walk. You can't do what you want to do. And that's what Pastor John has been speaking about all year. The enemy is going to do anything he can to stop you from walking out God's will in your life. He uses that muck, that dirt, that mud to slow you down. The same way, nothing will slow you down like a hard heart. Do you think that heart is willing to do God's work? What happens over time is we get hurt. How many here, don't even raise your hands, how many here have been hurt? We all have sometime or another, right? Let me let you in for a cue. Everybody is going to let you down sooner or later. The only one that won't let you down is God. Though we hope it's not intentional, but some people intentionally do. But it's those things that really touch us. It's usually the closest ones to us that give us the most hurt. Because we care. You walk by a fence and a dog's barking at you, do you take it personally? A dog barks at everybody. He doesn't know. But someone you love, someone you're close to, says something, does something. It hurts. We don't like hurts. What's the first thing we say? That ain't never going to happen again. We might not say it in quite these words, but this is exactly what we're thinking. I'm going to harden my heart. I'm going to make sure with a heart like this, nothing ever hurts me again. Nothing can break that heart. Nothing. But then, too, nothing can come out of this. All you're doing is putting a shield here to keep your love in, not hurts out, because the hurts will still come. As hard as this rock is, how unyielding, it said. You ever taken a rock and put it in fire? It just cracks easily. Right now, I could take that rock and almost throw it through the wall. I couldn't, but if you had enough force, you could throw it through a wall, any one of these walls. The wall would give before this rock would. But if you take this rock and you heat it, it's easy to break. And we're all going to go through those times in the furnace. So it doesn't make a difference if you have a hard heart or not. It can still be broken. But it can't give out love. If we took this and froze it, cold as we can get it, what would happen? We could just smash it to pieces, right? So when those cold times come, your heart can still be hurt. But still, it can never give out love. So what good are you doing? Over time, take a look at something like the Grand Canyon. That water flowing wears rock away. That rock, you put it in a river, would be wore away after a while, down to nothing, just by water. So it's going to be hurt. You cannot protect yourself from being hurt. All you're doing by hardening your heart is making sure that love doesn't go in or love doesn't come out. Is that how you want to be, loveless? No. That is not what a Christian heart should be. Actually, what it should be is just the opposite of that, right? All right. How can we tell if we have a hard heart? What are the symptoms? Doctor, first thing asks you, well, you're here. What's wrong? Well, doctor, when I do this, it hurts. You know what the doctor's going to tell you? Well, don't do that. An old joke. I didn't say it was a good joke, just an old joke. It hurts when I do this. Well, don't do that. First, your heart is like this. It's unusable. 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. So the human heart is not supposed to be a stone tablet. The stone tablet was a law that could get no one saved in the end. It's that soft heart that the word is written on now is what God can use. That's what God writes on. That's what God uses, a soft heart. A hard heart is a divided heart as well. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If your heart is hard, you're not serving God. But if you're not serving God, your heart will certainly find something else to serve. And it's not going to be good. Proverbs 21:2. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs your heart, the heart. And in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. A hard heart makes plenty of plans, but it leaves out God. No God in there. What's going to come out? Stone, cold, unyielding. Another symptom of a hard heart is that it's perverse. In Proverbs 11:20, the Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. God does not and cannot use a perverse, sinful heart. He cannot use this. Who here would put this in their chest right now? I hope none of us. Proverbs 15:11. Death and destruction lie before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? God judges the hearts. He can see what's in your heart. Don't think you can hide. Well, maybe if I don't come to church, is that going to help anything? Maybe if I stay away from my fellow Christians, you know. I get by Carol, you know, I know she can tell that I'm not doing something right or something's going wrong, you know, and I just don't want to be around her. So I'm going to stay home. Wouldn't it be better to get that sin out of your heart so you can sit down next to her? How perverse we are in our decisions. Instead of doing that, we'd rather run away. Like you can hide, you might be able to hide from Carol, but you can't hide from God, can you? Where are you going to go that God isn't? My favorite, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. A heart like this here does not have eyes. It will never see God. That's how we need to persevere to the end. In the end is when we see God and get our reward. I don't care if you served him or not, you're going to get a reward. I've had to speak at a couple funerals that maybe the person wasn't saved. Always say, well, thank God, they're now getting their reward. Everybody, amen, amen. Now, I didn't say what the reward was, did I? That's up to God, because we all get rewarded for what? What we do. And what should we do? What God asks. Pure and simple, right? Not what you think, what I just read a minute ago, what God wants you to do. The whole idea of the enemy is simple. Simple, simple, simple. He wants to see you in hell. Plain and simple. Ray, devil hates you. He's never going to do anything good for you. Just the opposite. To get back at God, he don't care about you, Ray. But he will do his best to see somehow that you fall and go to hell as a slap to God. Because he knows that God loves you. That's the same with every one of us, right? We're nothing but pawns. Satan doesn't care about you. Not in the slightest. He's just doing his best to give a slap towards God. And he thinks that every time he gets one of us to fall, that's what happens. How many people have ever fell down? It's obvious you got back up or you wouldn't be here today, right? We can fall down. You know, God has already covered that fall. But you have to have a soft heart to be able to go from and say, I'm sorry. I screwed up again. Please forgive me. I will do my best never to do it again. But Lord, I can't even do that without your strength. Be honest, right? That's something we don't like either, is honest. Like we think we can lie to God. That does not work, right? So I would have to ask you a question today. And we're going to talk about the final thing right now, and that is, what is the cure? All right? What is the cure? What good is knowing all of this if you don't know what to do, right? You know your heart is hard when you only see the bad. You know, I really hate it when people come up, man, the world's going to hell in a handbag. Man, things are terrible. They couldn't get any worse. Well, where's your head at? Come here and sit down here and see what good's going on in the world, right? If you're out there only looking at the bad, it's not a problem with the world, it's a problem with you. I guarantee you that more good is going on than bad. You are not going to stop God. Daniel said it, that stone is going to grow and grow and grow until it fills the entire earth. What's going to stop? We can't even stop a little stone like this. What's going to stop Jesus Christ? Nothing. We win. We win, we win, and we keep winning. But it's so easy to see the bad sometimes, because you turn on a TV, they're talking about great things that happen. No. They're only talking about sensationalism, the bad things, because shamefully to say, it's like a car wreck. Everybody stops to look. It's like a fire engine coming by. Everybody runs out of their house to see whose house is burning down, right? That's just human nature, but we can put that aside, just like that hard heart. and take a look at all the good. Be part of the good, not part of the bad. Don't perpetuate what is bad, perpetuate what is good, right? And there's good in every one of us if we have Christ in us. Amen. Everyone here, I think, professes to have Christ in them. So what should be coming out? Good. Are you turning a deaf ear to the truth? Do you refuse to hear his voice? Do you look but not see all of the great things he's doing around you? Have you allowed your heart to become like this towards the needs of others? Somebody comes to you for help. We are real quick to pray for you. Need what? You haven't ate in 3 days. Well, here, let me pray for you. Lord, love him. Amen. We're fast to put our hands together, but we're sometimes slow to put it in our pocket and pull something out of it, isn't it, to help someone? How can you preach to somebody that's hungry? Somebody that's thirsty? Somebody's laying there dying of thirst, hasn't had a drink in 3 days. Well, I'm going to pray for them sooner or later, but first thing, I'll get them a drink of water. Slap them around a little bit. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay, now I'll pray for you. Do we care about the suffering we see around us? Or do we just get up and turn off the TV? No suffering in my living room as long as I keep the TV off, right? Do you care that your fellowship with the Lord is not what it ought to be? If your fellowship is not right, it's because of this. Harden that heart. You have a hard heart. You don't want to fellowship with God. Same way if you're in any type of sin, you don't want to be anywhere around God, right? Pastors know if they haven't seen somebody lately and they're not working. There's only two reasons somebody quits coming to church. They're doing something wrong or something's going too well in their lives. One extreme or the other, as bad as that. Most people have left here because they think the church did something wrong to them or that God blessed them too much and they've got to go out and enjoy that blessing. Yeah. We all know how that works, don't we? Does it bother you to know that your own heart is getting harder by the day? If that doesn't bother you, you're close to the tipping point. And we should all admit that there's areas in our heart, no matter who we are, that need a little softening, isn't it? Our heart might not be completely hard like this, but there's little crusty areas here and there that could use a little bit of work on all of us. Well, the good news today is that the doctor is in. The doctor is in. There's only one good physician, and that is who? Jesus Christ. A doctor like myself, in the natural, only cuts out the bad. He does not cure anything. If you have a good doctor, he'll tell you that. All I can do is cut out the bad and pray that God heals you. We've seen many people in this church over the years healed, haven't we? Might have been a doctor that cut it out, but it was God that did the healing. And you know he's still doing that? That's in the physical. He cares even more about the spiritual. Because every one of us that was saved at one time or another from death are still going to die one day. The most important thing in God's eyes is where you spend the time afterwards. The time afterwards is forever and ever and ever. And I'll let you in on another secret. There's only two choices. There's no door number three. Heaven or hell. You know whose choice that is? Yours. The same person that hardened that heart is yourself. You want to see what the cause of a hard heart is? Go home and look in the mirror. We're the ones that harden our heart. God didn't do that, did he? But just the opposite. He wants to touch those hard hearts today. They can, as Jenny was healed in the physical, you can be healed in the spiritual. Amen? Let me share two scriptures here at the end. I'll be closing. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart. Was that Dr. Bob speaking? No, who was that speaking? That's God. I will give you a new heart. Who gave you your first one? He did. And put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God is a cure for this. God is a great physician. Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. This morning, even if it's the smallest spot, like a callus, anybody have a callus like on your finger, on your foot or something? That spot, you can't feel anything, can you? You can almost stick a pin in it. You don't feel anything. We don't want to be unfeeling as Christians, do we? What spot, what part of your body would you like to be unfeeling? If any, it's certainly not the heart, is it? That's a part that we want to see soft. So this morning, if you're sitting out there and even the little edge is getting crusty, like a piece of brisket that's been in the oven a little bit too long, a little hard on the end, right? There's a cure, and that cure is God. Jesus Christ will take care of that this morning. Could I have the prayer team come up? Hard heart is because of sin. Anything that does not come from God is a sin. A hard heart does not come from God, so it's a sin. That price has already been paid on the cross for every one of your sins that you have committed, that you are going to commit even. God even knows what we're going to do wrong in the future. I don't know. I know I'm going to do something wrong. I'm sure of that. What it is, I don't know, but God knows. But that's covered. But you have to bring that to Him. You have to be sorry. You have to ask for forgiveness. In the physical, can you be cured unless you go to the doctor? No. How many people tell, well, I'm not, well, won't you go see a doctor, right? You have a spiritual problem, why don't you go see God? Amen? Doctor will cure you most of the time. God will cure you all of the time if you're honest and sincere. Amen? So if anything today is bothering you, if you feel the slightest part of your heart is being hardened, please come up here and get some prayer this morning for that. Right? Remember, the doctor is in the house. This is a place of miracles. This is a place of healing. That's why we're here. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the great miracles we've seen, Father God. Lord, we know that you love us, Father God, and that you would do anything for us, Father God. Even that hard heart, anything that keeps us from you, you want to take it away, Father God. Lord, I pray right now for those that need to come up, that you give them the strength to be able, Father God, to come up here and get the prayer that they need. I'll end again by saying, the doctor is in the house. God is here this morning. Thank you. Amen. One with the mud, but if I can...